I want to certainly say we appreciate the opportunity the Lord's blessed all of us with to be here this morning on such a beautiful Sunday morning the Lord has prepared. I thought when I walked outside from the house a little while ago how cool the temperatures were, the breeze that was blowing, the sun that was shining, and you know, just a few days ago we had destruction in down in the Florida area and Alabama, and the Lord sent us some rain our way, but spared us from the destruction that came their way. And some folks says, well, that's just the way the weather works. And I believe I may not speak for everybody, but I know who controls the weather. And I appreciate what the Lord has done for all of us that's here this morning. I look out over the crowd. There's several that would probably love to be in church this morning that's just not able. Sickness has come, death has come, and so many different things has come their way that's got them to where they're not able to come here this morning or to another church. So as we sit here and as healthy as we are, we should be thankful that the Lord has allowed us to come and be here this morning. Most of you, I guess, may know. I don't know. A lot of you may not even know who I am. But some time back, me and my wife both, she's here with me this morning, we both were sick with the coronavirus. We tested positive for it back in the beginning of July. And there was a time while we were home quarantined that I wondered if life would ever get back to what we remembered. Missed going to church. We were basically, if you want to call it this, stranded at home. Wasn't able to be around anybody, couldn't go anywhere. And I used to think when I was a kid, there'd never come a day that I'd ever have to worry about going to church. But just a few months ago, there came a time when I wondered if I'd get to go. But the Lord watched over us and He kept us safe. And after a few weeks of having to deal with that, the Lord's blessed us to be back as close to normal as we were. We still have some issues that I guess we may deal with for a while, but the Lord spared us. And some folks didn't live through it, and some did, and some have effects from it, some don't. But I'm glad to be able to stand this morning and to say that I'm glad that I'm here. I don't know, I told Tanya last night, this is the first time that I've stood since I was tested positive, and that was the 1st of July, so you know how long back that's been. And I still struggle, seems like, with getting a good breath for every now and again. So I told her, I said, physically, I don't know if I'm able to do this morning. And naturally, I can tell you that I'm not. But I believe if the Lord will come by, He can take what's ailing me and make me better. And hopefully that He'll use me to help you this morning. That's why I'm here. I didn't come for no other reason but to try to help somebody that might need some help here this morning. I've got some very familiar scripture that we're going to read in your hearing and been preached on all of my life and all of your life, I'm sure. But early Sunday morning on July the 26th, I believe it was, the Lord woke me up and gave me this scripture. Now I've read it, I've tried to pray about it, I've asked the Lord, what did He mean by giving me just this verse? And I don't know if I can do anything with it this morning or not. I want to try my very best to give the Lord all that I've got. I said here a while back, I'm just in a day or so, I'll turn 49 years old, and I've got to where when I stand, I count it like it might be the very last time that I'll get to do this. And I sure would like to go out on a good note if I could. I'd like to give the Lord everything that I've got this morning to where somebody would know that I have made the journey here this morning at Mount View. I thought about what the gentleman said when I first come in and sat down about listening to that still, small voice. You know as well as I do, in the world today, there's a lot of racket going on. A lot of noise, a lot of foolishness, a lot of things that get us distracted. And people saying the Lord's here, and He's over here, and He's coming down this. But I listen for that that touches me down here on the inside of my heart this morning. That's that still small voice. And he's right. If I'd listened to it more, I'd be in a lot better shape than what I have been in the past. But I'd like for you to pray for us this morning. I appreciate the invitation to come. I appreciate the confidence that you have in me, that you'd want me to come and try to preach for you this morning. And that's what it'll be. It'll be a try. That's what I'm going to try to do this morning. But you pray for us right out of the bottom of your heart. We'll try our very best to do that the Lord has impressed us to say or do this morning. In the book of St. John, if you've got your Bible and you want to read along with us, we'll be reading out of the 11th chapter of the book of St. John. Very familiar story. Most of you's going to know it. Most of you's read it and heard it preached on. And I guess I could read the whole story, but the Lord woke me up with just one verse, and that's all I'm going to read in your hearing this morning. And I'd like for you to pay close attention to what the Lord might say through me if I can get myself where I need to be this morning. The Bible says this in the book of St. John in the 11th chapter, reading just one verse, and that being the 28th verse of that chapter. And the Bible says, "And when she had said so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come, and he calleth for thee." And that's all that the Lord has impressed us to read. And you're hearing this morning, and all of you that reads the Bible know the story, how that Mary and Martha had a brother named Lazarus, and Lazarus had gotten sick, and just like anybody else would, just like that we would, somebody sent for the Lord, and told him, said, "Go tell the Lord that Lazarus is sick, and we need the Lord here in a mighty way." And the Bible said that they went and they told the Lord that Lazarus is sick, and he needs your help this morning. But the Bible says that Jesus tarried. I believe it was 2 days that he stayed there where he was. And in a little while, he told his disciples, he said, "We need to go back to Judea, which is where they came from." But his disciples said, "Master, and you know they seek to take your life." But hear me, the Bible said that and Jesus said Lazarus is, and that he was sleeping. His disciples said, "Well, if he's sleeping, he doeth well." But after a while, the Bible said that, and the Lord told him, said, "Lazarus is dead, and I've got to go, and I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't there when he died." And hear me, the Bible said that, and Mary and Martha was gathered, and they're in the house, and when Martha heard that the Lord made his way and back into town, the Bible said that, and she run to where he was, and said, "Master, if you'd have been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died." But the Lord said, "Martha, and do you believe that, and that he'll rise again?" And Martha said, "Yes, I do, in the resurrection." And the Lord said, "I am the resurrection
And he heard me this morning. After he got done talking, and Martha, the Bible said that she ran back to the house and where Mary was, and she told her how the Bible said secretly that the Master's come and he calleth for thee. And I want you to hear what the thought I had was. Did you realize today that Jesus, he's still calling in 2020, God is still calling people and repenting, and he's saving our children, and he wants our grandchildren to be saved, and the world saved, and Brother Herman, he's forgot about us, but I'll say this, and he knows exactly where I am this morning, and he knows exactly where you are. He knows our very needs. The Bible said that he knows our thoughts afar off. And when I say, and when I woke up the other morning, I was thankful that I could still and hear the voice of the Lord. And you said a while ago, and that an earthquake came, a wind came, and then a fire. But it said this, it said, but the Lord wasn't in it. But then hear me. And then following that, I was a still, a small voice, and Elijah took notice that God had called, and he better answered it. Yes, he did. So the Bible said that, and he went to the front of the cave, and he said, Lord, I'm here, and because I'm jealous, and nobody's left except me, and they look to take my life. Listen to me this morning, just when the devil gets you in a place where you feel that you're doing it all alone, and brother, he'll open your eyes and let you know that he's got others that's got the same desire that you've got this morning. The Lord said, I've got 7,000 that's never bowed a knee. And brother, hear me this morning. I thought this other day, and when I was reading the scripture, and you bear with us, pray for it. I'd like to unload this before I go back over yonder out of Elijah. Hear me this morning. This is what I thought when the scripture came. Jesus is still calling. But are we still listening? And yes, sir. God's not changed. He's the same as he was yesterday. That's the same he is today. And the same he'll be when we leave here. He's still calling children. But are we listening? Listen, Samuel. I laid down in the bed. The Lord called his name. He ran to Eli. He said, you called me. Eli said, I didn't call you. Go lay back down. about the third time, brother, Eli realized that Jesus was calling. And he told Samuel, if he does it again, just say, here I am, Lord. I heal you this morning. Jesus, he's still calling. Even in the day we live today, with the trouble and the destruction that you and I see every day, it's got to where I'll be honest with you. I can't even watch the news anymore. And because I get so aggravated with the evil that's in our world. But I want you to hear me when I tell you this. When the world's on fire around us and evil is abound, and when I would do good, evil is always present. And brothers and sisters in Christ, we have a refuge. Yes, sir, we do. It's not a storm bunker. It's not underground. Stacking up for hard times. And brother, but it's in the hands of Jesus Christ. He said he'd be with us. He'd take care of us. And brother, he's still calling this morning. He's a calling. For his children, and he wants to bless us. And yes, sir, the Bible said that, and I don't really understand why Martha it was that run out to see the Lord and left Mary sitting at the house. But hear me, the Bible said when Martha told her that the Lord's here. I don't know if you've ever thought about it this way, but there's been times when I needed help that I had to send for Jesus. What the world needs today is for somebody to go send for Jesus where he might come and heal our land today. Martha, the Bible said she ran back to Mary, secretly got down in her ear, and she said, Jesus is here. They'd been looking for him, Herman, 4 days. I had gone by. Church, how many times have we prayed and prayed and wondered where he was? Ask him, Lord, would you help us? But day after day goes by, and we have no answer. How do you hear me this morning? Paul said we had been on this ship several days with no sunshine and no moon and no stars like this boy. And he said when it seemed that all hope was gone, listen, the Lord sent an angel and spoke to Paul and encouraged him today. Oh, they said after a long absence, Paul finally stood in the midst. I've never been one that could see visions, see things like that. But there's been a few times and where I could see Paul standing in the midst of those men, gloom and doom all around him, dreading, brother, to die. I go down with the shield. But Paul stood in the middle. And he said, be of good cheer. An angel has appeared unto me. And he said, if we will abide in this shield, not a one of us is going to be lost in this journey. After a while, brother, they got to where they started to load up the lifeboats, find an easy way out. And Paul said, cut them loose and let them fall. And you know what we have as Christians? If you'll have this, we got lifeboats. And when we get in trouble, we'll want to get in one and get away and leave the mother shield. But Paul said, lest you stay in this shield, you're going to perish. And hear me today. I know it's rough. I know we've got stories. I know we've got sickness. I know we've got death. But Jesus is still calling. And if we'll stay with Him, and brother, He'll see us through it today. The Bible said Mary got up and she ran to where Jesus was. Hear me now. Martha done told him, if you'd just been here, our brother wouldn't have died. How many times have we said, Lord, if you'd have done it already, we wouldn't be in the shape we're in today. But he told his disciples, he said, I'm glad I wasn't there, for the glory and honor of God. He had something to show some people, and had Lazarus not died, the Jewish people wouldn't have saw God raise him from the dead. But the Bible said Mary run to the Lord, and she fell at His feet. I can't imagine waiting on the Lord. Somebody, listen, somebody sent after Him before Lazarus ever died, while he was still sick, knew that if the Lord could get there, that He could heal Lazarus, because they'd seen Him do it before. But now Lazarus was dead, had been buried 4 days, and now Jesus showed up. Some people say, well, he got there too late. According to the scripture, and brother, he is there right on time, and he raised him from the very death he was in. Lord, if you'd have been here, Lazarus would have lived. The Lord said, do you believe he'll rise again? Yes, I do, in the day of the resurrection. And guess who she's talking to? She's a talking to the resurrection. And so he said, Mary and Martha, where have you laid it? And they took him to that of the cemetery. And back before when Mary left, though, listen, I want you to get this. The Bible said those Jews, supposing that she was going to the cemetery to grieve, and brother, they followed after her. The Lord set the stage, didn't He? He got them where He wanted them. And then He wept because He groaned in His spirit that people didn't believe that He was able to raise Him. So He wept that day. But the Bible said when they took Him to where the cemetery was, the Bible said His tomb was a cave. Had a rock rolled up in front of Him. And the Lord said, roll it back out of the way. Oh, yes, sir. I pray to God would remove some stones in our lives today. Roll them back out of the way. And Martha said, Lord, He's been there 4 days. Surely He'll stink by now. But in one place God said that what He sanctifies called not common, and because it's been redeemed this morning. He said, roll back the stone. They said, surely, surely. he stinketh by now. That the Bible said, hear me when I say this. The Bible said that the Lord looked up toward heaven and he said, thank you, Lord, for hearing me. When I pray, he said, I know you heard me. I know you did, but for these people's sake, I wanted to say it out loud. And I let you know, we need to let the world know God's still calling this morning. And hear me, once he said that, how the Bible said, he said with a loud voice, Lazarus come forth, and he that was dead appeared at the front of the tomb. He that was dead appeared bound in his grave clothes. And I don't know what that looked like. I didn't live back then and I ain't very much on history. But in my mind, what I see is something like what they used to do with mummies when they wrapped them in grave clothes. The Bible said that he appeared at the front of the cave. Preacher, if he was bound, how'd he get there? He got there the same way I got to the altar, that 11-year-old boy. I don't know. I just took a step, next thing I know, I was in the altar. But the Lord said for him to come, and he came. And then the Lord said, loose him and let him go. And that's what God did for me that Thursday night. He brought me to an altar. He saved my soul. And he loosed me and let me go. Jesus is still calling. He is. Samuel, Eli, I heard you calling for me. I didn't call for you, son. Go back and lay down. You know what? It's a crying shame it took Eli three times to know that it was the Lord. But the Bible said there was no open vision and the candle had went out in the temple. Things were bad back in those days, but God sent a man that could help them that day. He said, son, when you go back and lay down, he didn't say if. He said, but when he calls you again. He didn't say if. He said, when he calls you again. Say, thy servant heareth. Thy servant heareth. Hear me. We need to be listening to what God's telling us. Today we're walking around with our heads buried in the sand. And God's trying to tell us something this morning. The Bible said one night on a boat, the storms was rough, the waves were high, the winds were hard. The Bible said his disciples saw what they thought was a spirit walking on the water, and they began to cry out for help. But the spirit wasn't a spirit, it was Jesus. And he said, be of good cheer, fear not, for it is I. And you know what Peter said? Peter said, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come to where you're at. And the Bible says this very short word, come. He said, come. Peter got out of the boat, began to walk toward Jesus, and as long as he kept his eyes on him, he was able to walk on the waves. But when he took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. And right before Peter went under, he said, Lord, save me. The Bible said, this is the word it uses. The Bible says, immediately. Immediately he got a hold of his right hand. God's able to answer you right now. In 2020, when the world's going down without a hope, God's still calling, he's still answering, he's still bidding people to get help today. The Bible said that he lifted him back up on the water, and then what happened? Him and Jesus walked together back to the boat. Back to the boat. Jesus is still a calling. That day, that blind man sat by the wayside. He was a beggar, didn't have nothing, blind, but he heard that Jesus was a coming by. And I'm going to ask you something, church, this morning. And I think I know the answer, but I'm going to ask you anyway. If we was to got word today that Jesus Christ himself would be walking downtown Chatsworth this morning, wouldn't you, if I'd been there to see him? If I'd have known with all the confidence that he is coming through town, I'd have been right there to watch him come by. That's why this blind man was there. He'd heard Jesus was coming. He couldn't see him, but he heard about him. And when he heard that he was getting closer, he began to cry out, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And he cried louder and louder and louder, to the point where those around him said, "Don't be hollering. Hold your peace and don't do it." But the Bible said he hollered louder when they said that. And after a while, when the Lord got up there, he stopped. And he turned and he said, "Bring him to me." Hear me. And I don't know if this means anything to you or not. But the old boy was sitting over there, didn't have a thing in this world. Couldn't see, but in a few minutes, somebody walked over to him and said, "The Lord's calling for you. The Lord's calling for you to come over to where he was." How'd he get there, preacher? He is blind. The same way I got to the altar. I followed him. The Bible said he dropped his coat, got up off the ground. I believe back in them days, if you was homeless, your coat was about all you had to carry around. He dropped it and he went to the Lord, and the Lord said, "What would you have me do unto thee?" He said, "I might receive my sight." He might receive my sight. You know, when we was lost, even with these natural eyes, we could see, but we was blind. Spiritually blind. When I went to the altar that night, I asked God to give me something I'd never had before. Now I'm going to tell you exactly what I prayed for. What I wanted was him to keep me out of hell. That was the number one thing on my mind when I went there, is I did not want to go to hell. Lord, save me from going to hell. But you know what else he did for me that night? It wasn't just that he kept me out of hell. I think of that scripture in Psalms where it says, "Forget not his benefits." God bless you this morning. He's give us benefits today to feel his wonderful spirit. I'm not talking about benefits down at work. I'm not talking about retirement. I'm not talking about vacation pay. I'm talking about when you're in trouble and nobody knows it. God does this morning. And he'll come to your rescue. Lord, if you'd have been here, our brother would not have died. If you'd have been here. Even when they told him he was sick, he told his disciples then, he said, "Lazarus is sleeping. Lazarus is sleeping." And then when he wanted to go back over there, they knew that that's where they tried to kill him already before. And they said, "We don't need to go back over there. You said if Lazarus was sleeping, he was doing good." But the Lord had to get very plain with him and said, "Lazarus is dead. He's dead." And they'd done had the funeral and done had the service and has done back at the house visiting the sisters who had lost their brother. And I don't say this in the Bible, so don't leave here saying Scott Chesteen said it did. But I can't help but to believe whoever it was that went and told the Lord that Lazarus was sick, I can't help but to believe when he got back, he said, "We told him. He knows, and he'll be here. He'll be here. He's on his way. He'll be here shortly." I believe they told her that. And I believe maybe for a day or so, them sisters realized, "Okay, Lord, we're waiting on you to come. Surely he'll be here in a few days." But then he died, and the Lord wasn't there. They had the service, and the Lord wasn't there. They buried him, and the Lord wasn't there. But 4 days later, guess who showed up? The Lord came walking in to the town where they was. And I don't know who told Martha he was there. She may have been looking down the road and saw him, because I believe she probably still was looking for him. But she ran to where he was. Said, "Lord, if you'd have been here, he'd have lived." You know the story. But I love the part where they carried him over to the cemetery.
You know, to man, with things, there's things that's impossible to do with man. But with God, I believe the Word teaches us that all things are possible with Him. Preacher, my marriage is in shambles. God's able to fix that. My job, I hate my job. God's able to fix that. I'm sick, and the doctors can't figure out what's wrong with me. I believe the physician can heal you this morning. My child's on drugs, and I can't get them to quit. God's able to fix that. There ain't a thing in this world that God can't do if it's His will. Jesus is still calling us, but are we listening? Are we listening to what He says? Are we listening to the fires and the earthquakes and the winds and the protests and the riots and all the news about COVID and how it does this and how it does that? Is that all we're listening to? Or are we listening when the Lord says, get up and go on, church? I'm going to take care of you. I'll say this to those of you that's here this morning. I don't know how I got it, but I was in revival all week that week that I got sick. And I told people, I stood behind the pulpit, and don't think the devil hadn't beat me nearly to death over this. But I told them, Herman, we need to forget about, worry about what this government and everybody else says, and we need to go to meeting. Amen. I said that. I said, put down the fear and let's go to church this morning. And then the church got sick, and the devil rode me like a horse for 2 or 3 weeks. Said, you got all them people sick because you sold them a lie and told them they'd be okay. But I'm going to say this, God, I believe He's still able. He's still able to take care of us. And I'd rather die serving Jesus as I had at work or at an amusement park or on vacation. I'd rather die in the world know that the preacher died because he got it at church than I had them know I got it on vacation or at work or at a concert or some kind of get-together. I'd rather him say, well, he went down swinging. He gave all he had to the Lord. He put his trust in the Lord, and the Lord carried him home. I know they tell us right now that there is no cure for this virus that's sweeping our land today. They tell us there's no cure for some cancers that we've got in this land today. I have to take their word because they're the medical professions and not me. But I'm going to say this. In August of 2019, my mom passed away and she had cancer, and they told us that there is no cure for what she's got. And I watched her dwindle down to nothing. And I was with her when she took her last breath. And you know what's the truth? She found a vaccine that cured her.
Yeah.
Yes, she did. She did. It wasn't one that one of our doctors found out about, but it was one that our great physician had especially made for her. And she left here cured of that illness. And you'll leave here cured too if you know who the Lord is, because that's how good the Lord is. The Bible teaches us in the book of Amos that, and you hear preachers talk about it all the time, that there's coming a famine. There's coming a famine. You read the word of the Bible, it says there'd be a great falling away. There'd be a famine in the last days. That's what it says. But the book of Amos says this, there is coming a great famine. Not from preaching the word, but from hearing the word this morning. There's where the famine is. People's quit listening to what the Lord said. And they just go on their own accord. Flip a coin. Spin the wheel. Take a chance. Whatever seems to make the majority of the folks happy seems to be the way folks goes today.
But I'm going to tell you this, God's still calling today. He's still calling. But my question to you, and the question that got me the other morning at 3 in the morning, I sat straight up in my bed because I heard a voice speak to me. And I sat up because I heard it. I looked around the room to see who was talking. Tanya was asleep. It was just me. And then I realized who I'd heard. And he said, "The Master calleth and bids you to come." He's calling for you. He's calling for you. I don't know where you're at in life. I don't know where your life's taking you. I don't know what the struggles you've been in. I don't know what disappointment, heartache, heartbreak you have faced. I cannot imagine. As much as I have to deal with on a daily basis, I can't imagine trying to deal with everybody else's stuff. So I can't imagine what you're dealing with, but I want to leave you this. Before I head back to LJ, I want you to know that in 2020, in the worst times we've seen in a long time, brothers against their own brothers, sons against their daddies. Don't the Bible teach us that it's coming? We're seeing the fulfillment of the Scripture in the day we live today. People's turning on one another. Church members turning on one another. Sowing discord. Can't get along for nothing in the world. That's just exactly what the devil would have you and I to do, is to destroy what he has put together. I want to encourage you, church, and listen. God is still calling. He's still talking. He's still leading, and he's still dealing, and he's still bidding people to come to him. But he's not going to force it on any of us. He's not going to force it on any of us. If you get it, you'll have to decide for yourself. You'll have to listen to what the words he said. I can't imagine where Mary and Martha was. I find myself sometimes when I read that scripture, I kind of sometimes think about last August when I sit around the house there for a couple of weeks. And I said, "Lord, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed for you to send some kind of miracle for my mother. I prayed, Lord, I've done everything that you've asked me to do. I've tried to be a good soldier. I've tried to endure hardness. I tried to do what you wanted me to, but yet she didn't make it. What did I do wrong?" And the Lord said, "I cured her. I cured her." Herman, I was upset. I got bitter, I'll be honest with you. I got bitter. It hurt. It hurt. But I tell you what, he said, "I cured her. I cured her." I read over in the New Testament where he says this corruptible body is replaced with one that's incorruptible. Amen. And this body that gets wore out is replaced with one that'll never get tired again. This body that can't comprehend the struggles of this world is going to be replaced for one that'll shout forevermore. Because it's immortal. It's immortal, and it's with him. And she is cured. Your loved ones, if they've left here sick, guess what? They is cured. They ain't suffering. They ain't hurting. They're not worried about us anymore. I've heard people say, "Mama's looking down on me. If she was, she'd be worried sick. And what kind of heaven would that be?" Brother, she's at rest this morning. Amen. In a place called paradise where she knows no sadness. He's still calling us, but are we listening? I'll say this and then I'll close. There come a time when the Lord was to be crucified. He'd done all the good that he'd done in the world while he was here, but yet his ultimate reward for that was for his own people to crucify him and hang him on the cross. I would say take his life, but they didn't. He gave it. He gave his life. But just before he left here, The Bible teaches us there's two men hung on either side of him. And one railed on him. Said, if who you say you are, why don't you save yourself and us as well? Show us what you got. Show us how powerful you are as this man named Jesus that's done all these things. Let us see what you've done and what you can do. But that other old boy said, leave him alone. He don't deserve to be here where he's at. We do. We're getting our just reward. He don't deserve this. And he went on to say, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. I've not always lived like I should. And I deserve to die exactly the way I'm dying. But if you could, when you come into your kingdom, would you just remember me? Would you remember me, an old thief hanging on the cross beside you that deserves to go to hell? Would you just remember me when you get there? I thought about what this gentleman said this morning. Sometimes we wait and we listen and we listen and we listen. And sometimes it's hours or it's days before we hear. Sometimes we've got enough time to wait on him. Sometimes we don't. This boy didn't have much time left, so the Lord looked at him and said, this day. He didn't get back with him in a few days. He didn't wait a week. He didn't wait 4 days. But he said, this day, thou shalt be with me in paradise. The Lord is still a calling. I know he is. I heard him the other morning. He woke me up. Preacher, do you hear him with an audible voice? No. Normally I hear him right down here. But that morning I heard somebody with these ears speak in the middle of the morning and said, the Master's come. And he's a calling for you. He's a calling for you. I didn't know what it meant. I didn't know where the Lord would ever have me preach about it or not. But he has this morning. And we need to be reminded from time to time that he is still calling. And I'm going to say this, when he gets to where he quits calling, this thing's going to be over with. It'll be wrapped up, and you, if you're not right, will be left behind and not go to where we're going. But the good news is, and all this, all the distraction that we have today. I thought about what Elijah said. The Bible said in that scripture, and I don't know why I keep going back to this. I probably wouldn't have had he not said what he did. But think about it. Elijah was running for his life. Felt like he was all alone. Felt like he was the only one trying anymore. And he ran up there and got in the back of a cave and hid himself. But after a while, the Bible said the word of the Lord come to Elijah, even in that cave, and said, Elijah, what are you doing here? What are you doing? I've had the Lord ask me that the last several months, several times. What are you doing? What are you doing, Elijah? And he said, Lord, I'm the only one left. They've killed the prophets. They've done all this stuff, and now they're after me. They're going to try to kill me. I'm the only one left. And the Bible said he told him to come to the front of the cave. Actually, the Bible said he told him to go up on the mountain. And then it said that the earthquake came, and then the wind came, and each time these came, it said, but the Lord wasn't in them. Now, the Lord sent them. That's what's strange, I know, but the Bible says the Lord caused the earthquake, he caused the wind, and he caused the fire. But it also says, but the Lord wasn't in them. There's a lot of things we're going to go through in life that the Lord ain't in this morning. We put ourselves in those places. But God gets blamed for it, don't he? He sure does. He gets blamed for it all the time. But it says the Lord was not in them. But then it says, then a small, still voice. Now you compare that to an earthquake, a great wind, and a great fire, and think about the noise that all the three of those made. But the very thing that got Elijah's attention was that little voice. You know, when I was an 11-year-old boy, they was singing songs, making an altar call. Two girls was in the altar praying to be saved. God was a-working in the church, and all I could hear was the racket the church was making. But all of a sudden, I'm going to tell you exactly how it happened. I was standing behind the altar looking down on them two girls while they prayed. And all of a sudden, the one on the left raised her head and she said, "God save me." And then the girl on the right raised her head and she said, "God save me." And right then, I heard a still small voice that says, "You're lost. You're lost." I didn't hear the church singing no more. I didn't hear them shout. I didn't hear them praying. But I heard him say, "You're lost." And I needed to be saved. Hardest thing I've ever done was made one step from, and I was right at the altar. But it's the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. And to this day, I don't believe I made a step. I believe I shifted my weight. And then the next thing I know, I'm in the altar. I'm in the altar. And God saved me that night. Got up out of the floor and they said, "Scott, is there something you want to do?" And I said, "I'd like for us to sing that song. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there." I'd sung that my whole life and couldn't really mean it until that night. And I wanted the church to know I was going to be there because Jesus had called and I had answered. Mary, the Lord's here. He's come. The Master's come. And He's calling for you. Mary and Martha had an opportunity, just like a lot of us would have today, to have got mad at God. Said, "Well, too late now. Should have been here 4 days ago and you could have done something, but you're too late now. I ain't talking to you. I don't want nothing to do with you. I'm not going to even go out and meet you." But they went out to meet the Lord. They knew still in their heart, because Martha said it, "Yes, I believe He'll rise again in the resurrection." I believe Mary and Martha ones even told Him then, said, "I've got enough faith even to know now that if you speak the words, He's able to come back to life, even now." That's how much faith I have. That's how much faith King Jairus, I believe it was, said, "Lord, I'm not worthy for You to come into my house, but if You'd just speak the word, my daughter, I believe, would be made whole." That's the power of the Lord. And I want you to know in September of 2020, that Jesus is still calling us. He's still calling us. We've got some big things headed our way. I'm just going to be honest with you. Probably big changes in our country that's coming. Some of us have already seen some major changes. We're going to see some more before it's over with. Things are going to change that we ain't going to agree with. There's going to be things that's changed that's going to be contrary to what the Word of God says. And here's where we're going to find ourselves. I read an article the other day. I think I even told Tanya this. I never thought I'd live to say this. Growing up the way we did in these small country towns up here in North Georgia. But I read an article the other day to where there are already states, communities, counties, already discussing the fact that if a man of God gets up behind the pulpit and preaches against homosexuality, preaches against same-sex marriages, preaches against abortions, that he could be charged with a crime and put in jail for a hate crime. That's where we're headed. And I told Tanya the other night, I said, "You know, when it comes to that, I've got two choices." And I want you to try to put yourself in my shoes as a preacher. I've got a family that I love dearly. I got a brand new grandson that I'd give my life for right now. But there's going to come a day where I'm going to have to make a choice whether I want to be home with my family and be safe and be together with them, or I'm going to stand on what the Word of God says and face potential jail time for preaching the truth that God left for us. She said, "What are you going to do?" And I said, "You know, I'd like to say, I really would, I'd like to be bold enough to say that I'm going to stand and preach the truth, come what may." But I'm human. And there's a part of me that worries about that. But I'm going to say this. As long as we've got breath in our bodies, and as long as we've got strength, and as long as we've got our mind, our God is worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be followed. This scripture wasn't something that just was back in Grandpa's day. This word was left for all of us today to try to follow. My prayer is, and if you'll read your Bible, you'll realize that they was men of old put in jail. Paul, Silas, Peter, John, all of them put in jail for preaching the truth. Preaching the truth. But I like this scripture, and I promise I'm going to close. I like this scripture. I believe it's over in the book of Acts. They'd put Peter in jail. I believe it was Peter, and they'd went to this one fella and said they put him in, and he got out. And what do we do? And that man told him this. He said, best thing you can do is leave him alone. Because if it ain't of God, it's just going to fall by the wayside somewhere and just go away on its own. But if it is of God, you can't change it no way. I love that. I love that. You know, of all the things I've read about what people have started and what has fell by the wayside, churches that sprout up on the corner and then 6 months they're abandoned. That scripture holds true. If God's in the midst of it, you can't change it. You can't stop it. Look at the way we've been all of our lives, this way we've worshiped, handed down from generation to generation, because God is in the middle of it. And the world cannot change that. Yeah, they can put us in jail. They can put me in jail. They can put me in jail, and they can write me tickets. They can do whatever they want to about what I try to preach, but I'm going to say this, and it brings comfort to me. Sure, I'd miss family, I'd miss friends, and I'd miss freedom, I'm sure. But the Bible says when Peter and Paul and Silas, I believe, was in jail, that they began to sing, began to pray. And something happened inside that jailhouse that rocked the very foundations. The Bible said, I believe, that the doors opened. The gates open. Peter one time was in there and the outer gate even opened, and he went right back to where they was praying at home. I believe God's got a way of getting us out of shapes we get in. And I'm praying that He helps America. I'm praying that He helps our counties, our local governments, our local leaders, that they got enough backbone about them to stand upon the Word of God. Because that's what's got us this far here today. And I don't know what in the world we'd do if we lost this. I'm not sure how bad it would get. It'd get a lot worse than what we are right now, I can assure you. So as you leave today and you get back in your cars and start down the road, I'm going to say this. Sometime along the way, whether it be midweek, whether it be tonight, tomorrow, just get a little time, just you. I went out yesterday and sat down on my porch. Just me, by myself. I sat there. Didn't have no phone. Didn't have no radio. Didn't have no distractions. I had this Bible in my hand. And I sat down and began to read Scripture. And when I got done reading, I put the Bible on the table beside me, and I sat there and just sat there and listened to what the Lord might have to say. I don't know how y'all are, but it's a lot of times I'm going down the road minding my own business, and all of a sudden it's like the door opens and somebody gets in that truck. Amen. With me. I told y'all, I think it was back in January or February when I come over here to visit Brother Josh one Sunday. Ended up being Young People's Day that day. And as soon as I hit the Murray County line over there, when the lanes turned into a passing lane, God got in that truck with me. Been a long time since He'd got in there with me like that. And I probably would have been better off if I'd have just pulled over and got out and preached right there on the side of the road, because I felt that good. But that's how the Lord works. When you least expect Him. When you've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed and you wonder, Lord, where are You?
just in an instant, he'll show up. And it'll be an overwhelming feeling, one you can't contain, one you can't control. Preacher, well, I'd hate for him to show up and me be out in public somewhere. Don't worry about that. The world needs to see that stuff. You get tore up in Walmart, let it go. They need to see it. They need to see it. We're so ashamed and afraid today to show emotion that it's unreal. But I tell you what, God, when He gets a hold of you, if you've really got the right thing, Ezekiel said it's like pinning something up on the inside. Fire, a wheel turning in a wheel. You can't help it. You can't help it. I prayed when I first told my preacher call, and the only thing I could do was stand and read a verse of Scripture and start crying. That's all I could do. Couldn't say nothing but cry. Went home about the second time that happened, got in the bedroom, and I said, Lord, if you want me to preach, you're going to have to dry up the tears, or I can at least preach. You know what He did? He dried them up. You know what I couldn't do? Preach. Couldn't hit a lick. Went back in the bedroom and said, Lord, let me cry. And if that's all I can do, let me do it the best I can for you, is cry. We need to let our children know there ain't nothing wrong with having emotions. And I know a lot of people says that religion and serving the Lord ain't emotional. It's spiritual. I get that. And I don't want to play on anybody's emotions. But when that wheel begins to turn and them tears begin to wad up in that eye, don't hide your face. Don't put your head down and don't let nobody see it. But I say let it go. Let it go. It'll cleanse your soul and make you feel better just to let it out. I appreciate you this morning. I appreciate the opportunity the Lord's allowed us to be able, physically able, to come to church. There's a time I wondered if that'd be possible, the way I felt just a few months ago. But I'm glad that I'm able to come and do my part and help you this morning. I appreciate you. Appreciate your prayers. And we'll turn it over, brother. You go ahead and go how you feel.